your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we come together with much thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, with praise and glory and honor unto your lovely name. We thank you, Father, that you give us this time. Lord, that you give us this day, this age, this great open book, Lord, this unfolding of the seventh seal. Lord, the revealing of your presence, Lord, and your life living in your bride in this last day. And Father, we just ask that you would give us words to speak this morning, Lord. You know, as man, we feel so unworthy and so unprepared always, Lord. But you're the one. And Lord, you never fail. Lord, to your children, you always provide. Lord, may you bless them now. Bless each one. Bless those that are here, those that are not able, as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be back. And we are just glad to see each one of you this morning. I want to say we had a really good time, a great visit there with the family. And just went really well. The trip, the flying was good. The Lord was just good to me, and all the way through. And so I'm in the process of trying to send some pictures out on the group there that they have for the girls. I think Sister Amanda had made a group, and I think maybe a few of you are not in it. I'll try to maybe update that so that you can see. They're growing fast, and they are really doing good. They've adapted very well. You think coming from Kenya, and you know sometimes I think the Kenyans that are here, I think they recognize, but the Kenyans that are there in Kenya, I don't think they recognize the perfection of their weather. I don't think they recognize the perfection of what they have and how great it is compared to the rest of the world. It's the equator comes right through there. The weather's never more than, probably the most extreme ever is 20 degrees from their cold to their hot. And it's just really nice. Here, you can change 40 degrees from 7 in the morning to 12 in the afternoon, between in the changing of the seasons. And so it's really something. So there, and that's what we have here. Then you go there, and it's extreme. It's extreme. They can have 30 below zero. Can be really just amazing. I marvel because the clothes they wear there, you wouldn't have any use for them, or the jackets. You wouldn't have any use for them here. But when you go buy a jacket there, it's rated. And so I bought a jacket the first time I went. It's rated for 30 below zero. That's the rating. And so, and it can even get colder than that, it's really good. So, I did a lot of bicycling with the girls. They have parks all over the place. I can't say they don't enjoy them in the winter, but I'd say they mainly just enjoy them in the summer. And it doesn't get dark till about 10:30 at night, and so they take advantage of the sun during this time. And so it really put me off schedule. One thing is we're 2 hours ahead of them. And so midnight there is 2 in the morning. So if I stay up till 10, I've stayed up till midnight. And I'm an early riser and an early sleeper. So, or tried to be anyways, but I did a lot of bicycling. We did a lot of trails. We did some roller skating. For an old man, that was quite a task. And actually, I was pretty fair a skater as a child. But in those days, they didn't have inline skates. Everything was, you know, four wheels like a car. And now they're inline. And so that was a learning curve for me. But I managed a little bit. But I found myself getting weak, or my ankles getting weak. They'd start leaning over after a while. But anyways, another thing we got to do is I was looking on the map and I noticed it was pretty close to Saskatchewan. And so I wanted to cross the border and just see another province while I was there. And though just so happens that those two provinces are having a lot of problems with their left-wing government, as we have had here in the past. And so those two they're talking about breaking away, even to either form their own country or to become, and I think that's what they're after, but, you know, that the thought is out there that they could possibly become part of the States. I don't know that that would ever happen, but anyways, Alberta has the signatures. It takes like 125,000 signatures. They already have them. And so it will go to a referendum. They will vote on it. Rather, they're going to secede from Canada. So it's that far along. Saskatchewan is still getting the signatures. So for those two, there's something may happen there. I don't know what it'll be. But God is in control of all of those things. So we did. We drove over. We didn't understand, or I didn't understand, looking when I put it in the GPS. It said the road was closed. And so, but it ended up, so when we left out, we thought, okay, we're just going to go a few hours, get to the border, and the road's closed, and we turn around and come back. But it ended up that it wasn't, that there is a winter road, and I don't understand it, but there is a dirt road that's only open in the winter to cross, and it goes way out through the wilderness, and when you get out in those back roads, it's not like here where our old country roads, they get narrower and smaller and all of that. They're still big because of all the trucks. All of these big oil trucks and tree trucks, and they're hauling trees, and almost everything is a double rig. And they're not the short trailers like here. You'd have two short trailers, you know, when they do piggyback. They're full size. And so the roads are there to accommodate those trucks. And so it's really, you know, it's good when you're riding. But we did find that road that's closed, and I don't know why, but it's a dirt road. And so it seems opposite. It seemed like that one would be closed in the winter, but instead it's closed in the summertime. And so, but the main roads, I was able to go right over, cross over into Saskatchewan, and I marveled at the farms, at the lakes. There's just lakes everywhere. You pass them constantly. And so I was thinking to myself yesterday when I was trying to make some notes that there must be a thousand lakes. I looked it up, and in Alberta, there's over 500 lakes. In Saskatchewan, there's over 100,000 lakes. Over 100,000, and I just marveled. It's really something. And some of them are maybe not over 7 feet deep, but yet they're massive. They cover, you know, maybe 100 square miles, something like that. But then lots of them are deep. They go up to over 700 feet deep. It's really astounding. The farms were beautiful, awesome. They grow a lot of canola, a lot of aspen. Brother Branham talked about the aspen trees, the quaking aspen. Mm-hmm. And so they just have millions of acres, just millions of acres. You'll see those farms, you'll see that canola, and it has a yellow top on it. It just, as far as the eye can see, you can see it in both directions. It's just, and the forest the same way. this I don't know this I really marveled. I looked up a few things, like on the farms. There's almost 5,000 farms that are 5,000 acres or more. Think about that. 5,000 farms in just Saskatchewan. The average farm there is almost 2,000 acres. In Alberta, it's about 1,200 acres. That's the average. But there's one farm there that's 247,000, so a quarter of a million acres of farm. And so they have a short season because of the winter. The winters are brutal, but you'll see just thousands and thousands of acres of bales of hay. They rolled up and baled for the wintertime. It's just beautiful. The both of those provinces are just beautiful. And so we had a really good time. We did get to swim in one of those lakes. It was really nice. And we just thank God. Now, we're missing Brother Goomba and the family today. They're camping up at Steeles Creek. And we drove up yesterday to see them. And they got the best spot in the whole place. It's very private. It's deep water, 9 or 10 feet deep. It's shallow places for the children. So the waterfall is just a little paradise. And so they went in early enough to get it. And in all the years, we've never got that spot. Even when we used to take the boys, we never managed to get that place. It's always taken. And I think at one time they had it closed off, where you had to park at the road and walk in. But anyways, Brother Chris and Katrina came up, and so we had some fellowship with them yesterday, and it was really good, really good. And we got wet. I got wet. I couldn't. Brother Goomba was surprised. I got out of the truck and I was headed to the water first thing, and he said, "Like, brother, what are you doing?" I said, "Brother, I got to get in." I said, "It's a disease I have." when I get around water, I have to get in it. And I think it's a little bit too cold for him, but I don't know. He's probably went in. I don't know, but I don't. Yesterday he preached, so I listened to him. We listened to him online at home, and then decided to go up. And so he had to drive out because there's no service down in there. When you come off the road down in, even on the road, as high up as that is, there's only certain places you can get cell service. So he had drove all the way down, I think 30, 40 minutes, to a church parking lot, and had parked there and was preaching. And so I really appreciated that. And so I want to say we really appreciate the messages that Brother Goomba ministered while we were gone, and for doing the things that he did for Brother Michael and Amanda, for the song service, and just everything. The list is long. When you think about the recording and what Rebecca's doing and the website and all of those things, it's a lot of work to keep up, be on top of. And so we really appreciate it so much. And each one of you for what you're doing. And then we see some siding on the back of the building. And so if you want to see some blue, you'll have to walk around the back. And so that's coming along. So I appreciate each one that partook, helped with that. And so really, we just thank God. Amen. So now we're going to try to get into this. And I was feeling bad yesterday. I didn't feel like I should drive off. I felt like, no, I need to be here. I need to study. I need to be getting ready. And I just wanted to go. And and the wife wanted to go, and so I thought, I'm just going to take and go. I'm just going to do it and believe the Lord to help me. And so I have a chapter in the Bible I want to read, and that's Hebrews chapter 13. And there's a lot in this chapter, a lot that we've read over the years, and even in the last couple of years, there's many scriptures that apply. Of course, it flows together, but sometimes we don't realize how it's going together. Sometimes we separate it out. And probably, I don't know for sure, and I'm trying to look it up, but I ran out of time. But Hebrews 13:8, that's a scripture everybody knows. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. might be the scripture that Brother Branham quoted the most. I don't know, but maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of times, that scripture, he quoted it over and over and over and over again. And so we know that scripture, but there's many more. And we've used the scriptures there in Hebrews 13, 10 and 20, when he's talking about the everlasting covenant. There's other scriptures there, but so we'll just read, and then I'd like to go back and maybe put in a few quotes with some of these scriptures. And so we won't get it done this morning, but I want to just talk about some of those things, and maybe some of you already, I'm sure most of you already know these things, but maybe some of you don't. But there's a lot of things that he talks about here, and I'd like to just clarify some of it. And so I'm continuing with the same title. Some of these things that I was reading here was kind of going into what Brother Goomba was talking about, and so I didn't want to go there because he's still bringing that, and I didn't want to get on something that he's ministering, but something that both of us are preaching and have been preaching for a long time, and that is that the word of this age, there's only one. There's only one message today, and it is not the message of Pentecost. It is not the message of the church ages. And what's interesting is that there's a lot of people now coming to it, to see or to recognize that. Whether they have the token or not, that's another story. But there's a lot of people now accepting the fact that the church ages are over. Amen. And the work of redemption, as we knew it in the church ages, that ended with the opening of the seven seals. And so that's what Brother Branham said. He said that had to finish. And so that work, and that's what it was. It was a position that he held. He went to the right hand of God, and he sat there as a mediator. And he was a mediator for 2,000 years. And so he could not be a mediator now and do this work now. It's two different things altogether. That mediator was there in the church ages when the book was closed and it was sealed. But once the book's opened, there's nothing to mediate. Now you have a revelation because the book's open. And so once that book opens up, the revelation opened up, it's revealing Jesus Christ. And that's what Brother Branham said. He said the veil has been taken off of God. And so now we see him in his glory. We see him in his fullness. And we can recognize what the whole plan of redemption was all about. What it was from the very beginning. That's the reason why he comes in all of the phases of redemption. And all the phases of the blood of bulls and goats. And the pigeons and this and that. And coming up. And even in coming to the blood of Jesus Christ. And then coming through the ordinances. And all the different things that they had to do. And then we come all the way down to the final analysis of the whole thing. And he reveals the seven seals, and just as the book of Revelation, what Brother Goomba has been doing, is revealing the whole book of Revelation. That's done. It's finished.
That's right.
That whole thing has been made known, and a lot of people don't know it. And that's why it's been so nice what Brother Goomba has been bringing out, those signs and what those symbols and the things that that was hidden under all of those signs and symbols.
Amen.
And so then that work is finished. The Bible is completely revealed. And then comes the revelation of the seven thunders. Those mysteries that were not written in there, that were not for the other ages. They were only for the bride after the Bible was finished. And so in the final analysis, he steps out and redemption is revealed. And he says, you were never lost.
Amen.
That's the... You were never lost. What God was doing was revealing his attributes.
That's right.
All of those things had to happen so he could be a savior, so he could be a healer, so he could be a king, so he could be a judge, so he could be a husband, he could be a wife, he could be all of those things, and he still is in you.
Amen.
And now he's just bringing it down to the final manifestation of all of it in his wife, in the bride.
That's right.
That's where he's at. And so he's here. He's here, whether people recognize it or not. They're looking for nail-scarred hands. That's not how he's here.
Amen.
That's not how he promised to be here today.
That's right.
They're under the wrong coming. They're under the wrong idea. That's not how he promised to come. He's done exactly what he said he would do. He's here. He promised to take a bride. He's taken the bride. And that's where he's at. That's his body today. That's the manifestation of Jesus Christ today is in the body. And that body had been building. And it was a word body. And they had some word at Pentecost. And they had some word and then they lost. And they lost, all the way into the dark ages. Then in Luther, Brother Branham said, there was a resurrection. And not only a resurrection, but he said in Luther began to build a Gentile. I think Brother Goomba mentioned this the other day. I think that's, he mentioned it in his last message. And he said that it was almost all Jews. The church was almost all Jews all the way up into Luther and then began to build a Gentile bride. And so there, the gospel was moving on then. And Brother Branham said it's moved from the east to the west. And so it was moving. And so it went to Luther. And then it went to Wesley. So it went from Germany to England. And then he said it jumped across the channel. It jumped across. But there was a lot in there. It took in Europe. Took all them countries in. But it was coming. All the time it was coming. Amen. And then he said it ends up at the West Coast. And there's where we are. There's where the last prophet came from. And so it put it here. It had been coming this way all the time. And then it comes to the full manifestation of it. And the whole thing's been opened up and revealed. And so it's in a climax. And so the whole thing is the climax of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in that revelation is the bride. So as he's revealing himself, he's revealing you. You're being revealed in him. You're finding out who you are. You're finding out that you were never lost, that you never sinned. Huh? You can't hold the house responsible for what the old man that lived in the house was doing. That old nature was Satan. You were born with it because of the fall. That was all predestined. It was all planned out, all perfectly in God's design. And then he brings it down. And all of this time, you're feeling guilty. You're feeling all of these things. And then one day, he just reveals to you that you're a son of God. Amen. That you're a son of God and that you have no sin. Yeah. And that you never was a sinner.
Right.
And that's what 1 John 3 said. See, yeah. That seed was in there from the beginning. Yeah. From the beginning. You can't see because his seed was in you from the beginning. And so now here you are down in the last days, in the last message, in the last unfolding of all of it. This is the receiving time. This is when he came to claim. And that's, if you read the seal book, you know it. Nobody has to tell you that. This is the time he comes to claim his wife. And so this is a different day. There's never been a day like this. And it's easy for people to read and see Noah's day. And say, and know that there was never another Noah's day. And there never was going to be another Noah's day.
That's right.
And people's not looking for Noah's day. But for how they get sidetracked now, and they're looking for another Jesus day.
Yes.
They're looking for another the baby in a manger. They're looking for blood, nail-scarred hands.
Yep.
They're looking for that. Show me one place all the way through the Bible where he took a message, he took a manifestation of himself, and then he repeated it in another day. No, he never did it. No, it was always a new message. It was always a new message. I know in the church ages that seed had to go into the ground and then it come back and was restored back. That's true. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is he's not coming back like that again.
Amen.
And if you're looking for him like that, then I don't know what to tell you except study the message.
That's right.
Because this is the voice of God. This is the voice of God. And when you get that revelation,
amen,
when you get that revelation, and I heard a preacher say this the other day, and I've I've had this experience in my life, and I think I've said it many times before I heard him say it, but it's nice to hear it preached. It's nice to hear it. And I think, and I'm not saying I'm the only one said it, It's been said a million times, I'm sure, by the elect. But when you are born by the word of this day, you know it.
Yes.
You know it. And when you know it, one of the signs is this, that you, when you hear the word, you say amen.
Amen, that's right.
I believe that. For years and years and years, I've believed that. You say amen to it before you understand it. That's the difference. That's the difference in that seed. That's the difference in the message churches after they understand it. And the problem with that is, then you're working on an intellectual understanding. You're working on your understanding, on your pastor's understanding, or somebody's understanding. But when you hear the prophet say it, and you believe it, no conditions, no nothing, nothing. You just believe it. You just say, amen, that's right. And if it's completely contrary to your thinking, to your understanding, then you begin to work on your understanding. Because you know that's the truth. You don't know what you're thinking is the truth. But you know that that's the truth. And so now you begin asking God to fix your understanding, to give you the revelation of what this thing that you're hearing now is all about. I can remember 35 years ago when it was being preached, redemption was over. It was clearly what the prophet said in the message. And people, it was a war. It began a war in the message churches. And then when you hear, no, you can't do that because these people, that means that nobody can be saved. Well, think about it.
Amen.
When did you get saved? Before the foundation of the world?
Amen.
Huh? When did you get saved? You're going to say, oh, no, if redemption is finished, then nobody, you never could. There never was. It was all finished before the foundation of the world.
Right.
It just had to be manifested. It just had to be manifest. And that's what's taking place. That's what's taking place. The thing that ended, and this is where they don't read far enough. When he said redemption is over. Because he said every name that was on the book had to be revealed first.
Amen.
So they had to be revealed first before the book can be revealed. Now, if you can argue with it if you want to. But the problem is, and I don't see one laying here. I think there is one here. The seven seals. That's the seven seals right there.
Yeah.
Of all of the arguments and all of the excuses and all of the things that people say.
That's right.
This is the revelation of the seventh seal. Okay? So if Brother Branham said the rapture was going to happen, or he said that the mediator work was going to end, or if he said that every name had to be revealed first, whatever the scripture says and whatever the prophet said had to happen first.
Yes, sir.
In other words, he said all the Bible was revealed. Yes. Had to be finished. It had to be finished.
Right.
So it came to full manifestation through the seven church ages. It was happening all the time. Those seven seals were happening in the first age, second age, third age. They were happening. But now it come down to the last age, and now he's revealing it. He's revealing what the seven seals were.
Amen.
They were right there, but we didn't understand the symbols. We didn't understand what was happening, what was being said. But then he reveals it.
That's right.
And when he reveals it, then we see it clearly, plainly.
That's right.
So now you can go back and say, well, it can't be over because people are still getting saved. Well, then this is not effective to you. Then you can't believe this.
Right.
In other words, if you do believe this and you believe that idea, you're a hypocrite.
Right.
Because you can't say, I got the revelation of the seven seals, and then all the conditions that go with it don't apply.
Right.
No, you can't do that. That's the hypocrite.
Yes.
So you can't say, I believe half of what the prophet said. You get the point.
Yeah.
You get the point.
Yeah.
So God is doing this thing.
Yeah.
Just go back 2,000 years. Examine the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
and examine how many people, how many of the churches knew how he would come in that day, the first coming of Christ. How many of them knew how he would come and were expecting him that way? Not one. Not one. Why? Because it's always a mystery. It's always hidden. And so today, 2,000 years later, we've done exactly what they've done. We have figured it all out. We're sure that our revelation of the Scriptures is right. We're sure of it. Because we can read it plainly right there. That's exactly what they did 2,000 years ago. And every one of them was wrong.
Yes,
now take the pattern.
Amen.
And if that pattern's not enough, just go back from Genesis. Just go back to Genesis and start right there and come all the way up to Malachi, all the way up to Christ. And what was happening to the revelation all the way through? Abel killed his brother. They were killing the prophets. They were torturing the prophets. They were all of the things they were doing. It was always rejected. And so if you're looking for a place where everybody loves you and everybody loves what you say and what your preacher says, that's probably not a good sign. I'm not saying that anything about anybody's preacher. I'm talking, it applies to us right here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
If everybody loves us and everybody thinks we're just the perfect people,
yep,
there's something wrong somewhere.
Yes, sir.
There's a reproach.
That's right.
There's a reproach that goes with this revelation.
Yes, sir.
That's right. There was a reproach in Jesus' day.
That's right.
He bore the reproach. They bore the reproach. Yes, when they came for the new birth, they bore the reproach of that day. And it continued after them. So much so that as it went into the dark ages, they were slaughtering them. They were killing them. Millions and millions and millions. They were wiping them out.
Yes, sir. Yep.
There's a reproach. There was a reproach in this day. Mm-hmm. When we had the seventh angel messenger come on the scene, and the seventh angel began, he was revealing this Bible. He was revealing the book of Revelations. He was revealing the seven church ages. People never... They never heard anything like that before. No, this was seven churches in Asia Minor. And this was the characteristics of those seven churches. And here this prophet comes along and he says, no, it was more than that. He said, you look at those characteristics of each one of those churches. And he said, it's perfectly each one of those seven church ages.
Amen.
And so people had to, they had to adjust that. And even the theologians. I don't listen to them, but I have heard every once in a while, God, you can maybe just happen to hear it. You'll stumble across it, and you'll hear some preacher, some theologian, and you'll hear him quote something that's directly word for word out of that seal book or out of that church ages book.
Exactly right. 100%. Yep.
And so you know, and Brother Branham said that church ages book, he said, I want to grammarize this because they'll use it in the schools. And they are.
Right.
They don't give him credit for it, but they are. They're using it. They're teaching it.
Amen.
It's the only message in the last 2,000 years that makes sense.
Yes, sir.
All the theological stuff, there was some good stuff there. They got a few points right here and there. But the prophet had to come straighten it all out.
Yep.
And he did.
That's right.
And some of them recognize it. And some of them can't. And some of them walked right with him. They lived with him. They seen the supernatural. They seen the miracles. And it didn't change them. They still couldn't get away from. And that's what Brother Goomba's been bringing so beautifully, is that Nicolaitan spirit. They're bound. They're bound by something. Something has got a hold of them and they can't let it go. And it's right up here. It's right up here. They're locked into that thing and they can't get away from it. And so you got to get a revelation that this is the voice of God.
Right.
Now, when you get a revelation that this message is God speaking in this last day,
amen,
then there's nothing going to hold you back from the revelation.
Amen.
Because you're going to believe it regardless of what anybody says.
Right.
No matter how much criticism, how much theologians, how much intellect, don't matter none of that stuff, you're going to stay right there with what he said. I remember the first time I heard Brother Branham say, nobody has a right to this. Nobody has a right to the communion. Nobody has a right to none of these things till first they met the pillar of fire.
Amen.
And that scared me.
Yes, sir.
I was just a young Christian, and I thought, wow. I didn't know what to do with that, and I thought, I hadn't met him in that form.
Amen.
But when I realized I had met him, just not in that form. And that's what's wrong today. People are looking for him in one form, and he's in another form.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's all he did. He just changed his form. That's what he did for Abraham to see him.
Yes, sir.
He just changed his form. He went from one veil to another veil, and it throws them off.
That's right.
The difference in the elect is you put God in any veil, and the elect can recognize him because of his character. His nature is the same. You put him in Sister Edith, you put him in Brother Richard, Sister Esther, it's the same Christ.
That's right.
It's the same God. That's right.
Yes, sir.
And that's what you're recognizing.
Amen.
You're recognizing that life that's living there.
Yes.
That's why those disciples on that road to Emmaus, their hearts burned for 6 hours. 6 hours, their hearts burned within them. Him talking to them, him telling them. And then when he revealed himself, and they were talking about this at the camp yesterday, in the seventh hour. In the seventh hour, he revealed himself. And then they went back. And this is, how many times have you done this? Then you go back and you say, did not our hearts burn within us? I thought there was something to this. I thought that he would say, I knew.
Yep.
That's right. In that seventh hour, that's right. And that was the eighth hour. The eighth hour, they ran back. That's right.
Amen.
With the revelation. With the revelation, Brother Adam said, that's where we are now. He said, we in the eighth is eternity. He said, you're back to the first day again. You're back to where you started. You're back to that, the realization of who you are and where you came from. And so now, I didn't have none of that planned. And so we're going to try to do something to see. Okay, we've taken a little bit of time. Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. Now, you could just preach a message on that because that was the thing that they said that Jesus said they would know.
Yeah.
They would know when you have love one for another. They would know that you've been with Christ.
Amen.
They would know what type of people you were when you have that love one for another. And that's that love, it has to be the same love when they disagree with you.
Yes, sir.
It has to be the same love when they don't like you.
That's right.
Huh?
Yep.
Yeah, it has to be the same love. Now, he's talking about brotherly love. He's talking about that love among yourself. But that love is the love of God.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. That's why the scripture said, you love the world or the things of the world. It took me a long time. It was a long time before I ever recognized what he was talking about. He said, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God.
Right.
He's not talking about the filio. He's talking about the agapo. He's talking about the love of God.
Yes, sir.
It's not in you.
Amen.
It's not in you. If if you love those things, if you can't be both,
right.
You can't have both. One of them, you're going to have that pure love of God, then you're going to love people in the right way.
Amen.
And when they disagree with you, you're going to love them. And when they fight against you, you're going to love them. And when they hate you, you're going to love them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's right. And that's the only thing that can win them is when they see the life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they're seeing. They're seeing the life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because that's exactly what he did. And he did it at Calvary. He did it right there in Pilate's hall. He did it to the people of that day. And then he went right into the church ages with that same love. That same love. He's standing right there in the dark ages when they said, recant or die. Said those people walked to their death singing,
yes, sir,
and praising God.
Amen.
The same love. They weren't like, you snakes in the grass, you, I hate you, I hate you. No. They were singing praises to God.
Amen.
There's a difference.
Yes,
Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now that's a real scripture, and I got a few quotes on that I want to read. I'm just going to read the whole chapter first, and then we'll come back and get that. So Brother Branham said he didn't spend a lot on that, but he hid it here and there. And there's some other scriptures also talking about the angels. And so, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Amen. I think that's brotherly love. Amen. It's when we can enter into that suffering, we can enter into that tribulation, to that trial that our brothers and sisters are going through, then we become a part of that, and we can feel that infirmity, and then when we go to God, we can believe that He's going to move that thing. And that's something else he's going to remind us of in this, that when we go to God, everything is ours.
Yes, sir.
When Christ is in you, when you have the token, everything that Christ did at Calvary, all that He redeemed, it's yours.
Yes, sir.
And I think I've taken that lightly. I don't think I've applied that 100% like it should be. But Brother Branham said, it's ours. It's all ours. Because that's who He did it for. That's who He redeemed. He redeemed sons and daughters of God. And so when He redeemed them, He was redeeming that healing. He was redeeming that salvation. He was redeeming everything that come with it.
Amen.
And that's why Brother Ben said over and over and over, you're asking Him to do something He's already done. He said it's done.
That's right.
You claim it, you believe it, and He brings it to manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose revelation follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, some of this will tie back to those angels. And so, we're going to get that. But I want you to take note right here that this, that have the rule over you, is mentioned three times in this chapter. Three times. And so, and you think about what Brother Goomba's been preaching on this Nicolaitan spirit. And
yes,
so it looks like it's two ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Nicolaitan spirit's the devil. But what he's saying here is on the other side of it, is on the other end of the spectrum. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Verse 10, we have an altar. And this one I really like. And this one I want to spend some time on. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Now who served the tabernacle? The priest, the preachers. They're the ones. They served the tabernacle. They did all the work. They were the ones. They were the mediators between the people and God. They were the ones that were doing everything. They were making the sacrifice for their sins, making the atonements. They were doing all these things. And now Paul is coming along. And so before this, before Calvary, before this prophet comes, everything is coming that way. And the only thing that exceeds that, that's greater than that, is when God would send a prophet. And the prophet would come and he would correct them and he would tell them, you know, you're letting this become common or whatever you're doing wrong. You know, or your sons are selling it and making money off of it. And, you know, he would reveal their sins. But they were the ones who were at the service. There was a tribe just for that. The Levites were just for that service to the Lord. And the people, they didn't have any part in it except to believe it and accept it. So now Paul, you can imagine when they begin to hear this, and he's talking to the Hebrews. You can imagine what they were thinking when he come and told them that we have an altar, that we have a place, that they don't have any right. They don't have any part of this. Yeah, they have their thing. They have Moses' law. They have that. But they don't have any part in this revelation that God has given us. Amen. I'm going to read it again. And we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin. That blood that's brought in there for the sin, listen, are burned without the camp. They're taken outside to be burned. Not in there where the blood is given, not in there where the work is being done. They're taken outside the camp. See? Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He also was taken out of the camp. Brother Branham preached a message, going beyond the camp. And so that's what I'm wanting to talk about here, because that's where we are. Because we have to go beyond that camp that has been building for the last 2,000 years. And that camp has grown so big and so powerful until the hold that it has. And once again, I'm referring to what Brother Gomba said, and I'm not trying to get on his message, but we're, like I said, when we're coming to that being done away with and this being life, we're preaching right down the line the same. Amen. And so he's saying now that in the Old Testament, they had to be burned without the camp. He's saying in the New Testament, Christ suffered without the gate. So he was taken out beyond the camp. So now Paul's bringing it to his day. He's bringing it to his day. Watch. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. Let's go to where he is, because he's been put out. Now, you know, he was put out in that day, and you know he's been put out in this day. Huh? He was put out of the church. Now, people say whatever they want to say, but he was put out. And it was the seventh church age. And that's what amazes me, why people want to stay back there in that. When the prophet said the seventh age is over, he said Pentecost is dead, and he said that Christ was put out. Amen. So why are people trying to get back there? When it's been revealed that that's dead and it's finished and Christ is not in it. Amen. Christ has been put out of the church. He's no longer, Brother Branham said, Christ is no longer revealing himself in the church. Amen. No, that's finished. The churches are done. He did that for seven church ages. He was right there. The wheat and the tares were right side by side growing together. Both of them growing right up together. They were mixed together. But he said in the end time, there was going to be a separation. And this word is what separates them. This is the thing that separates the wheat from the tares. The seed of God from the non-seed.
That's right.
Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let me just back up a minute to number 10. And I just want to say something about this scripture. Another thing I want to get here is when we were preaching on the everlasting covenant, the eternal covenant, Brother Branham, in the token message, refers us back. He refers us back to Hebrews 13:10 and 13:20. He takes us back to those two scriptures. And he says, they are both telling us that this is an everlasting covenant. And in verse 10, it don't mention nothing about covenant. It don't mention nothing about everlasting. What he said is, and this is just I've missed it many, and I have read those things many times, and I preach on them a few times, and I always use verse 20 because I wasn't clear on verse 10. But I'm seeing something now that I hadn't seen before. We have an altar. That's it. We have another covenant. There's another covenant today. And this is not the everlasting covenant. This is the eternal covenant. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. And the revealing of the seventh seal will not be at any time ever made known to the public. This is a private revelation for the elect, for the bride of Jesus Christ. It is not made known to the public. And so this thing is Brother Branham, and I got the quotes, we're going to read them in Spiritual Food. He said, this spiritual food is for the bride only and nobody else. Nobody else, they can't recognize it. They don't know anything about it. It's only for the elect. And so that's where he brings it. Now, so I meant to mention that when we were come by that. And where are we at? 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. See, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Now, we preached sometime back at Easter, I think, on the kings and priests that we are. And this is, he's talking about the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And that's what God wants from us. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them, this is the second time, obey them that have the rule over you. See, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. See? And I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And there's verse 20, talking about that everlasting covenant. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you. This is the third time. Third time. He's identifying, saying, they have the rule over you. And all the saints, they of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, so I want to, first of all, I'm going to catch the second, and we still got a little bit of time, so if you'll bear with me, we'll get a little bit deeper in it as we go. And so, but some of these things are going to be very shallow for you, because you know, and I'm not going back preaching on the women, but he's in here. He says some things, and I actually just added these just a few minutes ago, so it wasn't part of the message that I had been studying on. So, anyways, so this is I'm referring now to Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So, like I said, Brother Branham didn't say a lot about that in some places that I could find quickly. Some places he says it in different ways, and I'll try to hit that. But I want to get here, and then in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 10, he talks about angels in another way. But let's read this. Paragraph 27, God's provided lamb. And now notice another thing. After that, after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, we have to pass over many these great places, see? And then we find out, then the next thing takes place, that Abraham is setting out in the barren land. And God has not promised us everything nice. But God's promised grace to endure. And I want you to think about that part of where Abraham's setting is his own choosing. You know that. He gave Lot the choice. He said, you take whatever you want. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. And so he gave Lot the choice. And Lot took the best. He said it was well watered, all that grass, all that. And so now he's talking about what he's got is barren. So he didn't get the best of it, but it's because he gave it to him. He didn't want no fight over it. He didn't want no, what was he doing? He was fulfilling 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. Amen. He just loved him and said, you take what you want and I'll take the rest. I'll take what's left. The difference is, and always is, when you do that, your portion is God.
Amen.
God is with you.
Right.
And so that's the thing you're leaning on. When you give away the rest of it, when you give away the world, you give away the rest of it, your portion is with God. God has not promised us everything nice, but God promised grace to endure. God's not promised to take us home on a flowery bed of ease. Look at the patience of Job and the disciples. Down through the age, how men and women have suffered for the cause of Christ. And here was Abraham sitting on that barren ground under his oak, his little tent, the flock being very poor, because Lot had taken the choice grounds. And he and Sarah was sitting there, and one afternoon while Abraham looked out, yet holding on to God's promise, he looked standing there near a tree. See, near the tree, and there stood three men over against thee. Abraham went out to them, fell down at his feet. And the three men, and said, if I found grace in thy sight, stop by just a moment. Sit under the oak, under the tree, the shade. It's hot today. See, courteously said, and I'll fetch a little water and wash your feet, and I'll have a morsel of bread cooked for you, and you'll refresh yourself, see? And then you may go on, see? Brother Branham said, that's the way to entertain strangers. And that was the only quote I could find that said entertain strangers, other than the scripture. And so, but it just so happened, this was the greatest visitation of any. And God gave him the revelation of who it was. He's seen three men. But think about this as we go, because he's gonna bring something to our attention pretty soon. Now, Abraham waiting for the promise, there was something in him that recognized that those were more than men. For one of them was Almighty God himself. And the other one was two angels, the other two, see? So he slipped into the tent right quick and said, Sarah, go over to the meal barrel and get some meal and knead it right quick. Or sift it out and make some unleavened cakes right quick. And he run out to the herd and he felt till he got the fattest calf he had, churned some milk right quick, got some butter, killed the calf, see, cooked it, some veal chops, cornbread, some butter, buttermilk, took it out, set it down for God and two angels to eat. Amen. Oh my, I feel religious right now. Think of that. God visiting mortal man. Oh, that kindly makes the little wheels go to turning. See, look at it. Amen. Amen. And it does for us because we've had that in this day.
Yes, sir.
We've had that visitation again. And our messenger, our angel, our seventh angel, he was able to have that same fellowship with God, to talk lip to ear,
Amen.
Them have a conversation, them talk one to another. Him, for that prophet to sit in his presence. Now, this is what I'm going to read now. I got two or three places, and I might try to skip through some of it. But this is referring to in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter in the 10th verse. And he's talking about a woman cutting her hair. And so, but he makes reference here to the angels. And so I wanted to read that because he identifies who they are. And so this is, like I said, you know these things, but maybe there's some, the children, some of them don't. And so let's just take a moment. And this is in 1957 on the questions and answers. He said, now listen to this. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. And for this cause ought a woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Any of you read it? 1 Corinthians 11th chapter in the 10th verse. And if you notice, see, power of the angels. 1 Corinthians, because the angels is the man, the messenger. Now, this goes right with what he's talking about when he keeps telling us there to them that have the rule over you. And we're going to get to that. We'll get to that too. See? If you notice here, look, it's a little a, huh? The scripture, the word angel is a little a. It's not a capital A. It's a little a. So this angel he's talking about is a man.
Amen.
That's what it's talking about. See, look, where angels are concerned, of heavenly angels, it's a big A. Capital A. Where it's a little a, it's men, angels. See? Nevertheless, neither is there man or woman, neither is there woman without the man. He goes back to the scripture. And the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. And all things are of God. Judge yourselves. Is it comely for a woman to pray to God with short hair? Uncovered? Think of it now, see? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, see, what did it pertain to? Hair. And the reason he's wanting to nail that down is because there's people, he's answering a question, some people have come to him and said, Brother Branham, we're wanting to follow you, we're wanting to believe everything you said, but you're off on the scripture. And we need you to correct this so that we can follow you and believe everything that you say. So, this is where they took him. And they said, Brother Branham, Paul was talking about being covered. He said, he's talking about the women wearing hats and the men not wearing hats. And so Brother Branham says, no, he's talking about hair. He's talking about their hair. And so the interesting thing is, you go from nation to nation and you look at the difference. Some women, their hair goes to their feet. And some, their hair barely goes to their shoulders. And so what do you do? He's calling it long hair. So the revelation is, what he's talking about is, they don't cut their hair.
That's right.
They don't cut their hair. Don't matter if it's this short or it's that long.
Right.
They don't cut their hair. That's the commandment to the woman, is she don't cut her hair under no circumstances.
Amen.
And so he's identifying because he's telling, if a woman cuts her hair, it's a shame and a disgrace. And if a man wears long hair, it's a shame and a disgrace. See? See, Paul's talking about hair, long hair. The woman ought to have long hair. And verse 14 says, does not even nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him? See? Now you get that. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's a woman's place. God made a man different from a woman. Sex and looks and everything else. She oughtn't to wear a garment. See? The Bible said that if a woman will put on a pair of slacks or any garment that pertains to a man, it's an abominable and dirty and filthy in the sight in the front of God. And God will make her pay for it. Who are you going to listen to now? See? This is the Bible. This is the Bible. God's going to make... And actually, and like I said, I didn't plan to read this morning. Just a few minutes ago, I plugged this in there because I was talking about these angels. But I actually, when I was there with the girls, we was talking one night in studying in the Bible, and we were talking about women wearing that which pertains to a man. And that also Brother Branham talking about how a woman should cover herself, and that there was the reference was that they don't wear their dresses long enough to cover their knees. And there was a sister in the church asking the prophet about it, and he said, yes, it's wrong. And so I was trying to explain that to the girls, and we were talking about it. And so when we finished talking about it, I went and it was bedtime, and I went and sat down on the couch and was just sitting there, and everyone else went upstairs except Annalise. And she came to me, and she had 100 questions. And her first question was, Dad, how will I know if the seed is in me? How will I know that I have the seed? And you don't know how much that touched me. For reasons you wouldn't even think about. But one of the things, mostly because I'm glad that she's concerned and she's thinking about her soul. She's thinking about that spiritual life. But another thing was that it's what's been preached. She's hearing what's been preached. She's hearing what's important. Amen. Not whether I did this or I did that or I did I got baptized or I did some other something, but the seed. That's the greatest thing. That's the greatest thing. Is if the seed is not there, there's no life. And if the seed is in there, brother, there's life. And that life is only going to do one thing. It's going to gravitate to the Word. It's going to come to the Word. You're going to love the Word. You're going to obey the Word. Your desire, your life, everything's to the Word. Because the Word is God. And so you and Him become one. That's how you know you have the seed. Is you and Him become one. And so it's and as we talked about a while ago, it's you know it. When you see yourself accepting it before you understand it. That's been a thing for me a long time, because I guess in witnessing to people, that was their throw off. Well, I don't understand that. You know, unless I understand that, you know, I said, what you need to do is know the voice of God is here. Amen. Once you know the voice of God is here, then you, it don't matter whether you understand it.
That's right.
That you can be sure you're going to. The prophet said you must. But the point is that you have to have it in the right order. You have to have it in the right way. And the right way is to believe it when you hear it. And then let God do the revealing. So you run around and say, well, I think it's nice to see women wearing slacks. But God made them different. He wants them dressed different. See? And the Bible said if a woman will even put on a garment that pertains to a man, it's an abomination. You know what abomination is? It's something that's filthy in the sight of God. And the great Jehovah, who looks down
upon you as being a filthy thing. Huh? Who? God. God sees it as filthy. This is all God's. This is God's word. This is God's character. This is God's mind. This is how God feels about it. Now, this is in the message oneness. See? And look, then the question come back. Somebody asked me some time ago. I'll explain it while I'm at it. See? He said, well, the Bible said that she should have long hair because of the angels. What's angels got to do with the woman? Huh? What's it got to do with it? See? And I said, what is an angel? It's a messenger. And what is Paul saying? If a true messenger, an angel from God, comes by, you'd better have long hair. Huh? You better not be cutting your hair if the angel of God is coming by. Why? Because he's going to condemn that thing.
That's right.
He's going to condemn it. See, people think...
Right.
And just think, if this spiritual heavenly angel came down and told you that you shouldn't do this, it would put some kind of fear in you.
Amen.
See?
Yep.
But if the seed is in you, you don't need that kind of angel.
Right.
All you need is that angel in the pulpit who's reading to you the Word of God.
Amen.
Who's revealing to you the message of the hour.
That's, right. Yes,
that's the one.
Amen.
That's the one that quickens the seed.
Amen.
That's the one that when the seed hears it, then God quickens that thing to life. See, he'll condemn the thing. That's right. See how many knows that an angel is a messenger. Exactly. A messenger sent from God will condemn it. See, you better have long hair because of the angels. And the messenger sent from God comes by, will condemn that thing. Yes, indeedy. Because a real messenger from God, an angel, is connected with God and his word can't fail. That's exactly right. And Paul said there, if even an angel from heaven come and taught anything else,
right,
let him be accursed. See, that's right. Now, we find out that that's true. She should have long hair. That's her covering. And so he's talking about, in Corinthians here, he's talking about the angel being the messenger of the age.
Yes,
or being a minister, a preacher, mm-hmm, in the pulpit.
Amen.
Whoever's preaching the word of God. That's the thing.
That's right.
That's the reason. And said, and so Paul, as a prophet, as a messenger to the age, he's telling them, if an angel from heaven comes and tells you anything different than what I've said, let that angel be cursed. Huh?
That's right.
See, people, they got the wrong understanding. They're thinking, oh, if I see that might be a devil.
Right.
Just remember, that spiritual angel you're seeing might be a devil. Because if he leaves the word of God, then he's not an angel of God.
Amen.
Because they can't leave the word of God.
Right.
So that's what, that wasn't it, was it Luther? I think it was Luther, wasn't it? That one time he had a visitation and an angel of light came to him and it was shining and it had a crown on and all these things. And he's looking at it and he knows this is a spiritual being. And this spiritual being is telling him, you need to fall down and worship me. And he's wanting to do it because he thinks this is God. But then he keeps comparing this thing. Something isn't right. That thing that's on the inside is thinking something's not right here.
Amen.
And so he kept looking at him, and he locked in on that crown. And he said, the scripture says, the Bible says that the saints will crown him. That's when he knew,
yep,
this doesn't line up with the word.
Amen.
And that's when he told him, Satan, go away.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so that's us today.
Right.
We have the full revelation. We have the full thing. We have it all.
Amen.
See, a real messenger from God, an angel, is connected with God and his word can't fail. I really don't know where I left off at. I should just look right. 133. See? Okay. So he said she should have long hair. That's her covering. It's not a hat. And in 133, but I imagine those pretty Moabite women were very beautiful. And they might have been fixed up some like some of the modern Jezebels of today. But however, not all women. I think a woman that's genuine is a jewel. Praise God for a real woman. You're God's handmaid, see? But a real woman is like a real man. They'll follow the word of God regardless what the devil says or any false thing. And say, our pastor said it's all right to do this. I don't care what your pastor said. If it's contrary to God's word, let his word be a lie.
Amen.
Keep God's word, see? I don't care what denomination it is or what he is. If he's got anything to say about it, tell him to look into the word of God. That's exactly right.
Yes,
praise be to God.
Amen.
All right. So I got one more. He's referring to identifying these angels as men, as messengers. And so I'm not saying that's what he's saying in Hebrews 13, but I'm saying it could be. It can go either way. So whether it's a heavenly angel or it's a earthly angel.
Amen.
If you are continuing in brotherly love, then you don't have to worry about missing the angel. Is that right?
Right.
If that love is in you, then you're going to treat everybody the same. I don't matter what they look like, what color they are, how they're dressed. That's a problem. You know, that's a problem.
Right.
You get somebody who just looks poor and down and out. And I tell you, that's something that is amazing, shocking to me, is there in that cold, cold climate. There's many homeless people there.
Mm.
Just walking the streets, just living, you know, they have stuff, food and stuff for them. They do. But they're also, some of them are sleeping outside in that cold. When I was there before, they come in and was tearing down one of their camps. They had collected so much junk and stuff. And so, but it's amazing. But do we judge them by that? We're not going to talk to them. We're not going to have anything to do with them. I know you have to be careful in this day and age. But what if God is sending you somebody to give them the word, to give them something?
Amen.
Are we willing? The meanest man I know, paragraph 25. And our Pentecostal women like that, that's too bad. See, it's a shame, sister. There's a letdown somewhere. I hope it isn't in the pulpit. See, remember that what a woman is to be. She is very sweet. I was talking to somebody today when Rebecca come to meet Isaac. Did you notice she veiled her face? And they still do it. See, there. They don't know what they're doing, but a bride veils her face. Why? The man is her head. And then she has the nature of a woman is to yield to a man. That's supposed to be her nature, is to yield to the man. See? And he's her head. And that's the reason the church should be veiled. It's got a head, and that's Christ.
Amen.
So if we get that, the natural will take care of itself. If we can get it right in the spiritual, that we have a head, then God will get us right in the natural.
Amen.
See? When Christ is doing the leading, then your nature, it's going to be right. See, that's the way. The woman is supposed to wear long hair because of her head, which is her husband. He's to have short hair because of Christ. And the woman wears long hair because of the angels. See? And what is the angels? The messenger. A true messenger to the church. That's right. He will always call it down and say it's wrong. See? And so forth. And the church to be so yielded to Jesus that it don't claim its own head. Its own headship, see? Christ is the headship of the church, veiled. See, we're not our own, but we're His. Yielded to Him and Him alone, how beautiful. Praise be to God.
Amen.
That's right. Praise be to His lovely name. So, now, you have that? Let me just read these three scriptures here. All right. In verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. Okay, in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. In verse 24, salute them that have the rule over you. Remember them, pray for them, obey them. So as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and salute them. He's getting it from every angle, isn't he? Okay. Let's read. And this one, I really had to chop this quote up because everything around it was talking about Nicolaitanism. And as I said, I didn't want to get on that. And Brother Gumba may even come to this. I don't know which way he's going, but he's covering it really well. And so, but I wanted just to get this one particular thing out of here. So I cut it up pretty good. In Hebrews 13:7, it says, obey them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. It is the word that rules us, not men. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It is the word that rules us. And so what we need, and Brother Branham said, what you must do is find a place that is bringing the word.
Amen.
You must find that place that's bringing the word, and that's where you should get fed. And if you're getting it all mixed with everything else, then there's the problem. It is the word that rules us, not men. Now, a man is as a husband is head of the woman. He rules her. But the church is a woman too, see? And her ruler is the word. And if the man's ruler is Christ, then he is going to, and he follows that, and the man follows that rulership, that ownership, that Christ, that leading, then it's going to be really easy for the woman to do the same thing.
That's right.
And when that man is not following, when he's not following the word, when he's not living the word, then that rulership is going to be hard.
Yes,
and over the years, I've seen this, and I was listening to, we were listening to a message yesterday, and a brother was talking about it, and I've said this because of going to different countries, I've seen this over and over, and I've actually seen it in America, and that is that men like women in this message. They like a woman in the message that is obedient. Because you're not going to find it out there in the world. And so a lot of times they'll come for that woman, even though themselves they haven't. And a lot of times they take advantage. They take advantage. I've seen it in India. Sometimes they take advantage of the woman because this is her place. This is what she does. And the problem is he's not born again. And so he doesn't reciprocate what he should. So the scripture says, love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
Well, that's quite a love. That's quite a love there.
Amen.
And so, and you find, and I find in other countries, it's more common for men to beat their wives. And it's not so common here, but it's here. It's everywhere. It happens. But it's more common in other countries. It's kind of, some countries it's just taken as, anytime you do something they don't like, then that's what you get. And they consider it common. They consider it just as that's part of it. That's how it works. You did wrong, you get a beating, just like a child gets a beating. And so it's no man. I've never seen a man that beat himself.
Right.
You ever seen a man beat himself?
Mm-hmm.
No. He's not going to do it. So if he loves his wife, see, like he loves himself,
right,
then he's not going to beat her. It's not going to happen.
Amen.
And so I've preached that in Kenya. I preached that in India. And usually the women are pretty quiet. But in Kenya, I got some amens. I got some... And the men went quiet. And the men weren't real happy with me, but it's the scripture, and it's the prophet. And so, yeah, it's not taking away the headship. The man's still the head. But there's a difference. I'm telling you what, to treat a woman right and her to love you, for her to respect you and love you and obey you because of the way you treat her and the love she has for you, that's a million times better. That's a million times better than you forcing her, you beating her. And that's exactly the way Christ is. You follow Christ because of the love you have for him. It's not because he beat you into it. Amen. Not because every time you make a mistake, this bad thing happens to you. It's not.
Right.
No, a lot of, if that was the case, we'd have a lot of bad things happening all the time.
Amen.
But he loves us, and that's reciprocated. That we, because of his love, we love him. Obey them which have the rule over you. It is the word that rules us, not men. Now, a man, a husband, sorry, I keep repeating here. I'm trying to. He rules her, but the church is a woman too. And her ruler is the word. Jesus is the word. If she rejects the word and takes any other headship, she is an adulteress. Now, you name me one church that hasn't give up the word for traditions and creeds. They're all adulteress. Like mother, like daughter. Now, I want you to see this clearly. So I will take our illustration again of the daughter of Jezebel marrying into the house of Judah and thereby bringing it right into idolatry. Now, this is the only place I'm getting over a little bit what Brother Gomez, and so, but I want to get the last paragraph as a reason. So, causing God to deliver Judah to death. That is what Balaam did. So, here was Jezebel with her paganism. Over there is Judah properly worshiping God and living under the word. So Jezebel marries her daughter to Jehoram. And the minute that happens, Jehoram causes the people to become idolaters. The minute that marriage took place, Judah was dead. Spiritual death came in. And the minute the first church of Rome organized, it died. The minute the Lutherans organized, death came in and they died. The Pentecostals come along last. They organized. The Spirit left. See? Though they don't believe it, but he did. And this is message people today. They don't believe that God has left Pentecostalism. They don't believe it. And so that's they're not only in it, they're striving more for that than they are for the revelation. They're striving more for that. They're trying to get back to Pentecost. And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm not putting them down. And I'm just, whatever they feel is satisfying to them, that's what they need to do. Because the only ones who are going to come to the fullness of the word is that's where the seed is.
Amen.
If the seed of God is in you, you will never be satisfied in Pentecost. That's just fact. It's just fact. And it's fact that the prophet has spoken. The prophet has spoken. He's declared it.
Amen.
He's revealed it. He's told us over and over and over. He said, if I come to you, this is the words of the prophet, and Brother Gumba quoted it yesterday. He said, if I come to you with the message of Pentecost, he said, I would be wrong.
That's right.
I would be wrong. Why? Because it's over.
That's right.
Because it's over. And he said it 100 times, different ways, every kind of way, he identified it. We're not in that day, and the revelation as it came with him not even knowing, and that's another thing. Going back to what we were talking about with you accepting it, believing it before you understood it. Brother Branham said the same thing. He said, sometimes I'm preaching, and he said, against my better judgment.
Right.
He said, against my better, he said, I have in my mind how I believe this thing. And he said, I can be preaching, and he'll tell me to say it a certain way. And he said, I'm like, no, that's not right. That's not how I believe it. That's not how I see it. But he said, against my better judgment, I'll say it the way he's telling me right now.
Amen.
And God's going to reveal it to him.
Yep.
But that prophet had the same thing. He had to step out there and say what God was saying to him right then.
Amen.
Many times, right from the pulpit. And he would identify it many times. Not always. Many times he identified it. He said, that's just coming now. That's fresh. That's this. That's that.
Amen.
God identified it right then. So that prophet, many times, he didn't know. He didn't know.
Amen.
He didn't understand why, how, when.
Right.
So spiritual death was coming in all that time, all the time. The minute the Lutherans organized, death came in. Pentecostal came along last, and they organized. The Spirit left it. Though they don't believe it, but he did. That marriage brought death. Then the light of oneness of the Godhead came. They organized, they died too. So I went from the Trinitarians to the oneness, said they were both wrong. Both wrong. Then, after the fire of God fell on the Ohio River in 1933, a healing revival swept the world. Is that right? It's history now. Just go back and read your history. This is not something you got to say, well, they were in that day saying that there were many of them, they were doubting, they didn't believe it. His pastor laughed at him, said, you with a sixth grade education, you're going to go around the world, you're going to pray for kings, you're going to pray for monarchs, you're these great leaders of the countries, you with a sixth grade education. They said, get a hold of yourself, Billy. He said, I didn't say it. He said it. Brother Branham said, I didn't say it. He said it. And then what happened? It's history now. It's history now. He prayed for those kings. He prayed for those monarchs. They would send him a plane ticket. Those were leaders of countries. They would send him a plane ticket and say, come and pray for me. Come pray for my wife. Pray for my family. Do this, do that. See, then the fire of God fell on the Ohio River in 1933. A healing revival swept the world. But it never came through any organization. God went outside of the Pentecostal groups. See? Outside of organization. And what he is going to do in the future is going to be outside organization too. See? God can't work through the dead. God can't work through the dead. Brother Branham identified organization as death, spiritual death. He's not there. He can't work through that. And that's where every one of them went. But the message, this is where it confuses people. The message came through there. The message came through Luther. And that elected seat in that day received Luther and his message. And then, as soon as he got done, they started organizing and it died. Wesley come along, the same thing. He was out on the mission field trying to convert these natives, and he seen a greater life in them than he had himself. And he come home crying. I went to convert them. Who's going to convert me? Huh? I need this Holy Ghost. I need this life. I need it living in me. And he upset everybody with that revelation. He upset everybody. His brother got so mad at him. He said, what are you talking about? What are you crying about? You got it. You have it. He said, no, I seen it. I seen it and I want it. And that's the difference. The seed sees it and the seed wants it. The rest of them, they're satisfied with anything. You can't be satisfied with Pentecost.
Amen.
If the Lutherans organized and died, the Wesleys organized and died, and the Pentecostal organized and died. That seventh angel brought that Pentecostal message. He brought it.
Amen.
And then he identified that it would die because they came in and they organized the revelation. They organized it. But God wasn't staying there anyways. They thought that was it. They thought that was the cap. They thought that was Christ. They thought that was the fullness. I'm not saying it wasn't Christ. I'm saying they thought that was the fullness of everything, and it wasn't.
Amen.
There was something greater waiting to happen.
Yes, sir.
It was coming.
Right.
But it couldn't come till the seals was revealed. And when the seals was revealed, Then the seventh seal opened up, and it opened only to the elect, only to the bride. He was speaking it. Now, the seventh angel's message was done now. He was finished. And Brother Branham said, you can't have two at the same time. He said, so either I'll be going, another one coming, or something's going to happen. And so what happened? The seventh angel's message was finished.
Amen.
He got done. And now here comes the mighty angel. The mighty angel, Christ himself, and incarnates himself in the flesh of that seventh angel messenger.
Amen.
This message is gone now. It's over. And now Christ begins to speak those seven thunder mysteries. Those mysteries that have been hidden from the foundation of the world.
Right.
You search from the revealing of the seals to the last message, communion, in 1965. And search for those things that had never been revealed. And there's so many. But they're just hidden. He was saying it all the time. And they didn't know what was happening. They didn't know what this great thing was.
Yeah.
And that's the reason. When I met Perry Green in the Congo, and he believed that Lee Vail, I'm sorry, this one, the Church Ages book. He believed that Lee Vail messed up this book. He said, there's 28 mistakes. 28 mistakes in here.
Hmm.
And so what happened was, what he couldn't recognize, I preached on the Son of Man, the revealing of the Son of Man. And he don't believe that. You know, I had some wonderful fellowship with him. It's just an awesome brother, great guy. I'm just saying that we just didn't agree in the word. He was a wonderful brother, a wonderful man. And he could tell you stories about the prophet all night long. And you could just be mesmerized. I could sit for hours. I could just sit for hours and listen to that man. It was so wonderful. He was just a great guy. I met his daughter, really nice woman. And but 28 mistakes. What happened was, it was being updated all the time. When it was being preached, this was being edited by Lee Vail, but the prophet was telling him what to say. So before the seals, Brother Branham was preaching that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new birth was two different things. Well, after the seals, Brother Branham said, oh no, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new birth is one and the same thing. So it got put in here as one and the same. But they knew that what he said before. So this was news to them. And what happened, as soon as this come, the prophet goes off the scene. Huh? Yeah. Well, this comes in November. I think this came November. And then I think when he was in Shreveport, he was saying, I think the books are arriving. I think they're coming. Some right around that time. So then he's gone in December. So they didn't have time to question him on all of those things. This is just one place. It's all through the message. So they were missing it because it was already being said. But some of it was just here. And so they didn't get to go and him explain it to them. So now the only way they're going to get it is if God reveals it to them.
Amen.
That's the difference. And that's where God wanted it to be all the time. He was waiting for this last day bride, that he'd have a people that he was going to have a relationship with. Thus those ones he said that I never knew you. That no means relationship, like Adam and Eve. He knew his wife and she reproduced. Now he knows his wife and she reproduces him.
Amen.
She's reproducing him.
That's right.
It's what's happening. It's what's taking place. And it's in you. It's in you. It's happening every day. That manifestation of Jesus Christ is happening. And so the world can't see it. They can't understand it. Sometimes in our carnal thinking, our intellect, we can't even understand it. We're a little bit past it, and we look back, we see what he did. We see the growth. Sometimes we can't see it when it's happening. And sometimes when it's happening, it's painful. But then we look back and we see, praise God.
Amen.
We thank him.
Amen.
We thank him for the things that he's done for us. So he's so good, so wonderful. And we just we appreciate so much what God has did. And so I think our time is up. So I'm going to stop right there, and we'll pick it up on Wednesday. And so once again, we're happy to be back. We had a really great time. We had a great time, and feel so blessed. And now I took your greetings there. Many of you told me to greet them, and I did. And so now I want to give you their greetings. And so they greet you, Sister Shiko. She greets you, sisters, each one. And the girls say hello. And so we appreciate you so much. And we wish that somehow you could go see them, but it's a bit far. It's a bit far. They're a lot closer than they were, but it's still a bit far. And so it's an all-day journey. Going, the flight wasn't so great. I got good seats. That's a big thing when you're flying. And but we got up around 2:30 or 3 in the morning. And the flight left at 6, so you got to be there a couple hours before. So I think we were there by 4 and got checked in and everything. And so then it's 3 flights. So you get there in the evening. Coming back, it was just 2 flights. So flew to Minneapolis and then straight to Charlotte. And that's nice. And I didn't leave there till 9:30 in the morning. So you don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever. And so I appreciate your prayers so much. And remember Brother Goomba and the family there. They'll be coming back maybe today or tomorrow. And I tell you, if they were staying another day, I think I would go back. The place they had was just beautiful. It was a perfect spot, and it was completely private, off the road. And you park there, nobody can drive in on you. And so God really blessed them, and it was really good. So we'll ask you to stand together with us. Brother, you'll come. And amen.
This relationship is a kingdom. And that king does everything he can do to protect his kingdom, his people, his queen, everything about his work.
Amen.
And those in that kingdom are thankful, and they're looking to him mm-hmm. for that protection, for that food, for that's the way the bride is. I want to sing that song. I sing praises to your name. F.
I sing praises to your name. Pray and pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a privilege again, Lord, to be here this morning, Lord, to hear you come among us, Lord, and speak to us, Lord, and to draw us closer to you, Lord, and to recognize our position, Lord, and the authority that you've given us, Lord, to praise you, Lord, and to claim that, as the brother was talking about, Lord, it's already a finished work, Lord. And Lord, we're just manifesting what you've seen in your mind before the foundation of the world, Lord. Nothing's new to you, Lord. Nothing's sneaking up on you. It's not nothing you got to figure out, but Lord, you're just manifesting the revelation in each and every one of us, Lord. Continue to give us that strength and that that knowing, Lord, that our position, Lord, when the bride recognizes her position, Lord, she can just say, even so, come, Lord. Lord, we're looking for that day when this natural realm will be changed or quickened, Lord, and we're not living into this filthy place here anymore, Lord, but we're living in a blessed place, Lord, and there's no more sickness, and there's no more far away to visit, there's no more traveling, Lord. We're all together, Lord, in one place, Lord, in one mind and one accord, Lord, and that's where we're at. We thank you for that, Lord. As we go from this place, may you be with those that are away, Lord, Brother Goom and them as they're camping, Lord. Good to hear the good report that you blessed them, Lord, and Lord, it's good to get away and see nature, Lord, as it's been untouched by man. There's only a few of those places left, Lord, and think about the comments the pastor made, Lord, about being out in the country, Lord. We just appreciate those moments, Lord, and ask that you be with them and bring them back safely, Lord, and as we go from this place, may you ever be in our hearts and minds, Lord, in Jesus' name.